I am Jane Brown. I live in Renforth, a Rossi area. And I have lived here in this area for about 48 years. And I originally came to St. John as an occupational therapist at DVA in 1952. Mm-hmm. And was working, I lived in St. John for several years in different places. And then I met my husband, Ken Brown, about 6 months after I arrived. We used to play badminton down at the Armories. We had a marvelous time down there. And Ken and I gradually decided to get married about 4 years later and moved to Renforth. And a very close friend of Ken's lived nearby, Paul Kierstead, former mayor of Renforth. And Paul and Ken put their heads together, and we bought a property very close by, and then we started to build. It was great fun building a house. We finally moved out in Christmas Eve, it was, 1956, and we had a lot of fun. I had lights and everything in the windows on Christmas Eve, and Christmas cards were my curtains, so we started from nothing. we had a wonderful house. We had a brand new, we were able to build a brand new house, and in the spring, the first thing that happened, my washing machine started to overflow in the backyard. And we had water, soapy water, bubbling out of the ground in a supposedly be a guaranteed sewage system. Well, that started me going. I said, Ken, there's something wrong. We have to get going because the sewer is not working and I don't want soapy water in my backyard. So I think that I've sort of pushed and pushed, and we finally landed up with a sewage committee. Ken was one of three men who were leading the area, and we finally got sewage a couple of years later, and we were so proud of it. We tried to get the other areas, but we decided if they didn't wish to join us, then we would just go on our own. And our living room eventually became town hall for the mayor of Renforth eventually. And they had many council meetings at our house, and we enjoyed having them very much.
You had all the sewer meetings, committee sewer meetings, before we had the sewer.
That's
all
right.
That from.
And we also gave a board to the engineers who came down from Moncton to help us out. That was fun. And now, where do we go from there?
Well, do you remember when, before the streets were paved, when they used to put down chip seal?
Yes.
They used to lay the asphalt and then put stone over it and roll it in. And in the very hot weather in the summer, the kids would be out and they'd come in with tar on their feet. That's before we had pavement on the streets. So I can remember Rita Stillwell and some of the others and the Barry kids up on the hill all tar. Well, Jane, you started. When did you start with the guides in Renforth?
When my daughters were able to be of age, at 6 or 7 years of age, I think it was.
Brownies.
And I went down to help. Sheila Hutchinson, who was the Brownie leader at that time, took sick that year and was unable to do anything. She left me completely alone to run the Brownie pack. But we got together every day, about a day or two before the meeting, and she planned out and told me what to do. So I carried it out. I was a former guide, Sea Guide Brownie, myself, so I wasn't foreign to the thing. Then I've just continued, haven't stopped. So.
And your children, did they start down in K Park School? when they started out in grade one, were they down in Cape Park? Was there then in the school?
Yes.
Yes, they went to Cape Park. Yes.
The oldest one, Martha, started down in Cape Park.
Mm-hmm.
They were the first year. No, Martha was in, I'm sorry, she was up above at Rossing.
Rossing.
And Jennifer was in Cape Park.
Okay, yeah. That was the first when they opened it up. Before
right.
that was just Cape Park. In those, before they expanded.
And just
that.
Recently, my grandson has been the first of the kindergarten age. He went through the first kindergarten group at Kent.
At Cape Park.
So that was kind of fun.
Fun, yes, okay. Now, how is your? How have you seen Renforth change before the amalgamation, or grown, or what's your impression of how it grew and what went on with your group of friends that would be?
Renforth has changed, but it hasn't changed. The people have moved.
Mm-hmm.
We have become broader minded because you stretch out and you join in with the other areas of East Riverside and then eventually amalgamation with Rossing. And I'm not fond of change, but I think change is necessary in some cases, particularly with the sewage, if we go
mm-hmm.
back a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The sewage, we discovered there were a lot of people who were sick in the area because of the sewage and the poor water systems. So we were forced into sewage. We tried to join in with the other groups, but we thought, well, if they don't wish to be, then we'll go it on our own. And I give top marks to the town council of Renforth for doing the work that they did. Joan Fitzgerald mm-hmm. was one of the ringleaders, and Fred Peetman and Merv
Brown right.
and Ken Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, and Fred Garrett.
And Fred Garrett, Fred yeah. Garrett was to
chairman.
Begin
yes.
with. He
yeah,
was chairman. Marvelous.
They had three, just to figure out, maybe before you know, you were here, but we had three annual meetings of the local improvement district before they got the resolution passed. It took us 3 years to get the resolution passed because everybody had a perfect septic tank system.
Perfect.
Everybody had a perfect one. Everybody said they had a perfect one. But as you remember, Jane, in the hot weather in the summer, you couldn't walk along Rossy Road because of the smell in the ditch. I mean, we're at the foot
well,
of the,
even
foot
on
of the
Second
hill.
Street.
Yeah, on we're in here, you're all sloped down, and water has to run down.
Yeah.
But by putting in the sewers, we cleaned up the wells. Mm-hmm. We didn't, our wells all stayed.
They did a well testing
yeah.
all the way
mm-hmm.
through.
And there were several with bad wells.
Yes, and there are several people mm-hmm. who have since died who contracted, what's that disease of? Anyway, what else would you like to know?
Well, you went on to be a divisional
in guiding.
Yes.
I did 8 years in the Brownies in Renforth Clubhouse, and then I passed it over to a couple of other girls, and then I took over the secretary of the division, which was up to Sussex. We went from the Renforth border of Rossay, or of St. John, to Sussex, and I was secretary of that and worked with Mrs. Inches, and then I worked with Mrs. Reed, and eventually when I took over the division from Mrs. Reed, and I enjoyed traveling up and down the roads. They're all changed now, but I'm glad I don't have to do too much. But I used to go right straight through to Sussex. It was a lot of fun. I had three girls, and I think they were my inspiration to help them through guiding. And they all got top marks in guiding.
And your three girls still live in the area?
Three girls still live in the area. One lives with me, and two are married, about a mile on either side of me. So we can't.
So you do lots of babysitting?
I do lots of babysitting. And people say that's a foolish thing to do. I said, no, it isn't. Because you learn so much, and you learn things that you never knew before because you didn't have time to do it. You were too busy otherwise. But I love doing it, and I'm still doing it. And right now I have to do a job this week, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to think. Challenge issue.
Well, what other thoughts do you have about You went to, you came up to Rasse to Our Lady Perpetual Help for church?
Yes.
And you've
when
seen the
I
big
married,
change
I was United Church, and I went to High Anglican School in Toronto, and then I joined the Navy, and all the different experiences that I had. And when I met Ken, he said, I'm not forcing. He said, there's no marriage unless you've been changed. And he did not force me. I did it voluntarily because High Anglican is very close to the Catholic. Different, but it's very close. And with that background, I had a good knowledge. And I think there's a God wherever you go. I'm not worrying about that. But I joined the Catholic Church with Ken, and we came out here to Rasse. We were married in the Rasse Church, and that was quite a thing because I wasn't a resident of this area, but we worked it out.
Mm-hmm. You've seen big changes in the church now with the new church and all.
A brand new church,
yes.
And it's amazing, the growth. And the church before was just bursting. It seems that other churches are having trouble filling their pews. We're not having very much problem that way. But and I have no... I try to keep neutral on many things like that. But my high school education was in a small private school in Toronto. We had a very stern headmistress. I imagine something like RCS Netherwood.
Netherwood.
And we were not a boarding school, but we and right from grade 8, I wore navy blue. I was in the. I went to school in navy blue tunic and white blouse. And when I finished school, I joined the RCN, the WRNS, WRCNS, and was in navy blue. And then I came down, I went to university, that was the break, and took occupational therapy. And that was 3 years and 10 months with no degree after grade 13.
Mm-hmm.
I keep putting that in because I think that some people, the degrees aren't everything. So I was in green then.
Oh, yes, right.
But then I came, when I got married and had family and had guiding, I was back in navy blue.
Where did you go while you were in the Navy? Were you in Canada or
did
you
was, I went to Guelph, Ontario, and then I went to Halifax for a short stint there and was there for VE Day, but we were enclosed in the camp. We weren't allowed
where you weren't allowed out.
No, we weren't allowed out. And then we, then I was shipped to Ottawa to fight the Ethiopian War. Or no, the Eastern War.
Japan.
Yeah, Japanese area. And I was there in Ottawa for a year, and I enjoyed it very much. And we had great time. The heat was wonderful.
Were you in barracks in Ottawa? Or?
Yes, special barracks. It was an old home, beautiful old home. And I wasn't in military barracks as such. And then after Ottawa, I was shipped to Halifax to fight the Japanese War. And then eventually I was shipped home. So I was just in at the tail end of the war.
When were you demobbed? What year? Still 45, 46? You must have been a year, 47. Well, 46.
At the end, 45, 46. Yeah, 46. Then I went to university and was in the fall.
Where'd you go to university in Toronto?
Toronto. Took 3 years. And that year they changed the course from a 2 to 3 year occupational therapy course. It was non-degree. So I had grade 13, 3 years university, 10 months interning, no degree. But I don't need it. And it's something that you can't use anyway. But then I came down here and...
Did you enjoy your work down here before you
loved it. Yeah. I was in Ridgewood doing the... with the veterans and senior veterans and there were active veterans there. And then compensation gradually moved in. And today, of course, it's all compensation patients now. And they have a brand new hospital out there, which I don't know very much about. But I have a daughter who's a physio, and she has worked with the compensation patients. And so we've had a lot of fun that way.
You keep up your interest.
Keep up my interest.
That's very good. Now, coming back to Renforth, Jane, what other changes did you have you noticed? I mean, we put community planning was in when you came, that we were...
Beginning,
yes. Yeah,
and we had to have certain restrictions, and we had quite a fight with... we had two wells on our property when we started to build, and both wells tested D. And so we had to change the position of our house to accommodate a well. And the council was wonderful about helping us out that way, because I think they wanted the house, and we did too. But the water was, we couldn't use the water. The people who were using the water were told that it wasn't good.
Jane, was yours the first house on that side of the street between...
Between Riverview and Birch Crescent.
Yes. You're on 9 Second Street, aren't you? 9 Second Street. And yours was the first house on that
side?
Ours
was the first on that side. Yeah. There were no change across the street except for renovations.
Right.
In the street.
That remains the same, mm-hmm. Yes. That's interesting. And no change on First Street either. Below you.
No change there.
Yeah, no. All those were all summer homes changed over to all year round homes.
That's right.
And
the only new house there is Bursix at the foot of the main road.
Main road, yes.
And Birch. And then Steiner's built a couple of years after. Steiner's were next door to us. Mm. And they are on Birch View.
Just now, yes, now Birch View.
And then across the street was where the Cosmans live now.
Yes.
That was the only, they were the only two new houses then.
But they replaced a house that burned.
Yes.
Yes, they replaced a house,
That's
a steeper
right.
house that burned.
That's right.
Or not the steeper house, Steve's house.
They
had the Steve's house,
house.
Yeah. The Vincent's
and then we've seen all the different, and then Mr. Arthur's built above him.
Right.
And so there was a real boom, but the sewage certainly helped a lot in that area to pick
to,
up.
To build, to build for a new
we
building.
Had to.
Yes,
we had
yes,
to do it.
Yes.
And
but there was no the extension of Second Street into Hazen wasn't built at all when you came out.
No.
Nor the extension of First Street below you.
They just
a path in there.
That's right.
From over there.
Hazen just went up a few houses.
Few houses, yes.
And
One
of the men wanted very badly to get to build at the top of Hazen, and he had a problem in his family, and he was hoping that he could build a house for his family, and that event opened the area too, bit by bit, it opened up. Then when we got the sewage going, I think that was what really opened the area, but we still don't have water, and we're all concerned about that. But if we're careful, we manage.
Now, what's your connection with the community club? What's your recollection of those and your other than the guys?
We were all had pieces of paper. We were stock owners. I don't know if the stock was very valuable or not. But I was, I was a young bride and a young mother and didn't have too much outside interest at that time because I had three little ones and no car, so it didn't travel very far on the roads. And I didn't take much interest in the clubhouse until my children were old enough to be in school. The other neighbors were older and they were more involved with it, but I let Ken do that. You can't do everything. But then I joined the Guides and Brownies, and they were wonderful to us to let us have the hall there, and they still do give us the time that we need, and they're very, very generous with it. I don't know what we do without it. The Scully boys were wonderful when they came forth with this. We just have a slip of paper that said we remember
a stock certificate, $25. We still get calls to know whether they're any good.
I
people find them, and we say, sorry, no.
That's just a souvenir. That's right.
Yes.
But that, the Scully boys deserve a lot of credit on that.
Yes, they worked, well, Harry and Wally, and Harry arranged the financing and all of that,
wonderful. Yes.
And then
we got on the sewage, so.
Yes, yeah, it was a lot of activity.
Yes.
A lot of activity
and
in the community.
And everybody was, there was animosity to a certain degree, but that's the thing I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I just block that out because it was for the benefit of everybody, and the more you talked, the more reasonable people became. That's the way I found it.
What's the biggest change you've seen is the sewer and the pavement of the streets. What?
Street lights.
Street lights were there when you came.
No.
48 street lights went in. The original street lights, maybe not the side streets.
The main road. We didn't have
one. No.
No, they were maybe on the hill.
Yeah, the main road and hill. Yes, and the street lights. What other big change would you think that you?
I think that the general improvement and all the ditches were cleaned up. People were encouraged to clean their own ditches, and some people said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, why not?" I said, "Your part," and I said, "If not, you're going to be taxed." So everybody was responsible for their ditches to the road allowance. And I think that's a good thing, too.
People took an interest in that.
Yeah, they did.
Yes.
Fred Beatman was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
A wonderful example. Fred was mayor for a while. And he gave us inspiration to get moving, and other people have done the same thing.
Remember when we used to have the cleanups of our own every spring? When the children would go out with bags and clean up. You'd have
a clean
up.
The girl guys did that.
The girl girls, yes.
Up and down, and the St. David's Youth
mm-hmm.
Group
yes.
still does that on the highway.
Yes.
Which is a wonderful thing. And parents today say, "Why do the children have to do this?" Well, I said, "Who is causing the mess?" And why shouldn't we teach our children that it's worthwhile? We must keep the area tidy and clean to prevent disease, illness, things like that. But one of my daughters worked on that, and she was horrified at some of the respect for the parents just didn't respect it at all. Terrible. So she soon gave that little jaunt up.
Do you think Renforth was a vibrant community of doing things in its own with the regattas and the clubhouse?
The clubhouse made an awful difference too. And the people of East Riverside, I think, were sorry that they didn't join us. And I think that now that things are a little better. But they didn't have as much of a community spirit because they were spread out along the...
And they didn't have a community building.
No.
And that was a private club.
That building
yes.
was a marvel.
Yes.
Marvel.
Yes.
And
and they didn't have a church either. We had an Anglican church.
You had an Anglican church.
Yes.
That was a hall. That's right. And you had two stores.
Mm.
So we had a lot going for us. And the post office was there too.
Right.
So it was great. And then we had the wharf.
Yes, the wharf was a big...
Wharf was in
your children learned to swim down there?
Oh, yes. They all got to the top. And then before the pool was built in St. John. And today I feel sorry for people out on the water because it's so cold. And the fog doesn't help teach the children to swim. But I think they're a hardy bunch, and they're out there, whether it's foggy or sunny, they're down there.
Do you remember who the lifeguards were when your children were learning to swim? Or?
One of the lifeguards is a brother of Martha's husband.
Oh.
And when Martha was my oldest daughter, and she went into an RNA course out at the technical school after graduation, and then worked at the regional and at St. Joe's Hospital at different times, and she met her husband in the hospital, and it turned out that his brother was a lifeguard on the beach, and Rene came home. He's traveling. He's way out in Thailand right now, And every time he comes home, we have a little joke about this or that and about the swimming. But he used to bicycle from the north end of St. John out to Renforth every morning to be there at 9 o'clock. And I knew, and he said, "I remember you, Mrs. Brown." He said, "You'd come down with your knitting and you'd sit until all three of the girls had their swimming." I said, "Well, I wasn't wasting time."
No, you had a lot of things you had to do.
Oh, no. Yeah. And in those days, we didn't have police protection to a real degree. And it was crossing the highway was my concern.
Had RCMP, pardon me. We had RCMP, but
that's right.
You know, it was the whole district. Yeah, the whole district.
That's right. No, we're very lucky with the police force and the fire department now. My son-in-law is on the fire department, so being an added boost.
So what else? Well, there's been the police department since you came. That was new. They had the old fire department used to come, and they used to
just there.
Yes, you know, and we used to call the operator, and she would ring all the telephones. You remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember the time that I think the last one that I remember doing that was there's fire at Lorette Quinn's below you there, a little fire that they had one morning.
Oh, that was yes.
One morning.
Well, the other morning we had a fire alarm call from there. Jennifer tore down. Mrs. Quinn had done some cooking. But no, that was a bad
mm-hmm.
But we've been very lucky with no fires,
major fires we have been there, yeah.
No.
Yeah, the large lots, our larger lots help with that, I think.
I think so. And I think that the council has controlled the size of the lots, which has been wonderful. I mean, nobody's cutting corners here, there, or anywhere. And the roads were in before the lots were, or the lots were there, and then the roads were put in to be convenient, I think.
They were drawn, well, they were planned out, but they were never put on the ground.
Fox Farm.
Yes.
And the hill up on Fox Farm Hill.
Yeah, that was... There were no roads up there.
No,
up beyond the... the house, I call it the Landry's house, you call it the Dobson house.
And yes, and then the Chamberlain's.
And yes.
They were right up there. The top. There was no
but there was nothing up there in Ridgeway and Boa Vista. There was nothing up there in your day when it started out. No, it's interesting.
It was all a big field, and I just heard that it was a fox farm.
That's right, yes.
And I've seen the old cages there, and I knew what a fox farm was because we had one near my home in Ontario. So it was.
What part of Ontario was your home?
Toronto,
oh.
And when I first came... This is a lovely story. When I first came to St. John, in Maclean's magazine of 1956, there was a beautiful write-up about St. John. And so I read it from cover to cover and kept it. And when I came here, I would never say where I was from because Torontonians were the most despised people on the earth. And I can't help where I was born. I can't help what I've done. So, with a Torontonian, I would never say where I was from. And I remember my husband asking me when he first met me, he said, "You don't come from here." "No." I said, "You're going to guess where I'm from." And he just about died after several minutes of questioning when I finally said Toronto. And so then he thought, well, that wasn't so bad after
all.
But I used to tease him a lot. But I figured out that it was a lack of education on people's part, and that I said, "I know more about your city than you probably do. The shortest, widest, steepest main street in North America." So I used to spiel off this article, and as soon as they talked to me for about 5 minutes, they decided they'd accept me. That's how I won the St. John people over.
Where about did you live in St. John when you first
came? On the west side in Lewin Avenue. Behind the, I guess the most recent building was the Dominion Stores that was built up on the top, and then it became the school board office.
Right.
And I was right down in behind.
Behind on Lewin, yes.
And I had two, there was one of the boys who used to work in the hospital, and the other one worked over in the town office of DVA. And I said, I used to live with... Harold Falloon, where I live with John Logan. They look at me, because both these men were well known. Yeah. I live with them. With a grin on my face, I had to laugh and joke about this for a long time.
How'd you get from Lewin Avenue out to Ridgewood?
I worked part-time at Lancaster Hospital.
Oh, you did, okay.
And they had limousine, you would say, or a small bus that went out every day to Ridgewood, and I would catch that to go out, and then I'd catch it to come back. And they dropped me at the hospital, and then I had no place to cook. I just had a room, and so I used to have my meals at the hospital, and I got to know the dietitians. And I would wait until the dietitians were finished, and then there would always be a dietitian on duty, and I'd have my meal with them. And I'd go for breakfast, and I'd go for supper. And it was very reasonable, 55 cents for dinner. 25 cents for breakfast. And the dietitians became my very best friends. And one of the dietitians' fathers was head of DVA. I really walked right into everything there, but and a lot of people did not like Mr. Jones, but I loved him. He was the most wonderful man. I don't know if you ever knew him, but he was head of DVA, and he and his wife just opened the door to me and their daughter, and we had a wonderful life. And Ken and I introduced Carol to her future husband. And we stood up with them when they were married. And Mr. Jones wasn't too happy about it, but he rode along with it. But a lot of people, he was a man that many people did not like, but many people, those who knew him, loved him. And just recently, their daughter passed away. I came home from hospital a couple of weeks ago, and the girl said, "Mom, we didn't tell you, but Carol passed away." I knew she was dying, and I was hoping I could get myself into shape, that I could go out west to visit her. I went 2 years ago to England to visit her, and we had a marvelous visit then. And then she moved near Victoria, and to be with her family. But the people in St. John have been absolutely wonderful to me, and I've loved them. And I know I disappointed my family, but you can't do everything.
You have no regrets about coming to St. John?
No. Oh, well, I don't like the fog.
No, you don't like the fog?
I never have.
No regrets about coming to Renfort?
No regrets. And I come out of church on Sunday, and the sun will be shining in Rossi, and I have to come down to the fog.
Oh, yeah.
However, that's one thing I have accepted, and people say, "Oh, will you stop talking about it?" I said, "I can't." I said, "It's in my blood." However, but I wouldn't live anywhere else than Renfort if I chose. I hope I don't have to, because I've been there since 56. That's pretty good.
Yeah, almost,
not quite
almost
50
not
years.
Quite, not no. quite. Not quite.
I kind of think I shudder when I think my house is brand new, and then I think, oh my gosh, it's nearly 50 years old.
Yes.
And you have to figure out what you're going to do next.
it's strange, isn't it? Because you don't think of it as an old house. Even I don't presume you did, because I was to a party one night next door, which was the old Barter House, which was rebuilt just during the war, where they had a fire and it was rebuilt. And somebody said to me, "Isn't this a lovely old house?" Before I ever thought, I said, "Old house? That's not an old house. I remember when it was built." You know.
Well, all the houses on our street are the same age, within 4 or 5 years.
Yes. Yeah.
The only one fear that I have is controlling our water system. And I think that every time there's something going on up on across the Mackay Highway,
in the bog, yes.
I remember the engineer who put our sewers in, Bill Crandall. He was the most marvelous person, and he kept saying to Ken and I, "Don't ever let anybody destroy that bog. And if there's anything going on, I'm the first one that'll come out and say this. Don't destroy the bog, because that is the Renforth water supply." And somebody tried to do it not long ago, and we lost our water, and it cost us hundreds of dollars to get back. But it's no fun. That's the one fear we have is water.
Do you hope that you'll have a municipal water supply someday?
Yes, if it comes along in a municipal water supply, I would say very definitely, but I hope I'm never forced to join it. If the house is sold, then that person has to join it. But I'll wait until that comes.
Mm-hmm.
We make that decision. But no, I would, if I could afford it, I would. Because I think that I don't want to see things happen that have happened elsewhere close by. But, I mean, if the water is good, that could be wonderful. But after all, we have to pay for these things one way or the other. And that's one thing you can't control. You have to keep a certain amount set aside for the day that your well doesn't work.
Yes.
But we're lucky.
Very. What have you noticed since the change, since amalgamation? Have things worked out the way you hoped they would, or are there any... there are improvements, are there?
I go along with it. I don't try to fight it. I accept change if it's worth it. If it's not worth it, I'll fight it. And we fought something recently about children having playgrounds near us, and we fought bitterly about it, and this girl has gone deliberately against all rules and regulations, and I won't take a stand unless it comes to, I mean, I won't be mean. I just don't bother with it and hope no one else bothers with it. But I hope we don't join St. John. If I want to live in St. John, I'll live there. But I want to live in Renforth, Rothsay. And I still feel Renforth, but of course, I think Rothsay realizes that too. And Rothsay doesn't like it any more than anybody else. But I know we fought long and hard with Rothsay and with East Riverside to get the sewer. And nobody would join in with us. We were the first ones to start it. And then they built the bog, or built the lagoon, and then they put the cell in, which was good. And now they're thinking of other things. Well, they're not talking about it, but I don't worry about it.
The what do you feel would help Rothsay and some of the areas like Renforth a better place to live?
Just education. I think, and communication with the members of the town council. Unless I go to a meeting up here, I don't know very much. And we don't have a newspaper as such. The Valley Viewer is very good. And the St. John paper is pretty good about putting things in. But
what do you think about the Rossi Reader, the little one the town puts out?
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Very, very good. And those little things, I think they make a difference. I'm not one for a lot of change. Mm-hmm. I'm conservative in many ways.
So you have no big plans that you would like to see changed for the area?
What's the one they're working on now? No. Well, I think that it's time for me to sit back with somebody else. I can't get out of guard.
What do your girls say? How do they feel? Are they at home here? Are they a next generation coming
up? Well, they're so busy with their children.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter who lives with me doesn't have a job. She has...
She has a job looking after you.
She's looking after me. She has a master's in survey engineering, and she came home from Ottawa to look after me when my husband took sick. And that I accept as a tremendous piece of gratitude, but I don't know how to go from here with her because she cannot find anything in survey engineering, and I don't know whether she wants to really leave. I'm not holding her, but I don't know what I do, she went. But that's life,
mm-hmm.
And you face it when you come to it. I don't try to cross a bridge. And I take my part in, shall I say, politics. I take my part in voting. I take my part in going to different community activities that are in the area at large, as well as doing it in the, as best I can. And no, one of the things I enjoy coming to the New Year's levee, mm-hmm. things like that. And I always go to the Remembrance Day parades, mm-hmm. things like that.
And Canada Day.
And Canada Day. I miss Canada Day this year.
Yes, yes.
But it's those are the things that. And I used to, I took Ken down one time in a wheelchair, mm-hmm. down to the clubhouse. And just to keep him, you know, give him something else to look at and something else to think about.
And you donated a clock to the town, to the village, or to the town, you know, the village.
And well, we didn't know what to give
for his 80th birthday.
Gave a clock, and they said, do you want it back? And I said, no, if you can use it somewhere else, that's fine. Just a small thing. We'd like to do more, but there's only so many things that you can do.
Are there any real memories you'd like to share with us from your times?
Yeah. Wonderful regattas that we've mm-hmm. had on the water when Paul Kirsted was mayor of Renforth. We enjoyed that very, very much.
That would have been the 1971, the 100th anniversary.
The 100th anniversary, yep.
Yes. Mm.
You're better at the dates than mm-hmm. I am. But we enjoyed that very, very much. And we still see Joan Kirsted. She's doing extremely well, and her daughter had to take her up to Hampton, so she's still in the area, and I see her regularly. We were very close friends. But there were an awful lot of people that are very, very close, and now they've moved, and you get to the senior age, and you just accept what's around
what's
you.
What's around, yes.
And I go to see Lorette Quinn, who's not very well. I go to see Libby Lowell, mm-hmm. and I'm keeping an eye on Warren Ellis, who just lost his wife, things like that. And the lady across the street who bought Peatman House, mm-hmm. the Fowlers, are very nice people, and they've had medical problems there. And they completely redesigned the house.
Really?
You ever been in it?
No, I haven't.
It's just unbelievable what people can do with an older home. I won't take the time to describe mm-hmm. it now, but sometime you ask mm-hmm. me, or you should go and call on her. Mm-hmm. She'd love to show it to you. But and then the changes. I miss the post office, but that's all right. Mm-hmm. And I have I tried to support the local people as much as I can. And I'm always the one thing that I love is my car. What would we do without the car? And the transportation of children is one of the problems. That out here we have no buses and the kids are dependent on other people. And if they don't have a parent, I feel so sorry for them. That's the sad part. But I don't know what else you can do because most people have cars. And I wouldn't want to walk the Renforth Hill every day. I do walk it. But I mean, there are pros and cons to every area you live in. But we're very grateful, most especially for the sewage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was our star. And someday in my old age, I'm going to play golf again.
Are you?
I don't know just when. That's one thing I would love to do. I love to play golf. We came out. I used to hop on the bus at Ridgewood, you know where that is, way out. And I'd come across town, and I'd be out on the golf course at 6 o'clock. And in the summertime, and I could play 9 holes, and I forget how I got back to town, but I took
was
a bus.
There was a bus back to town, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that.
Well, I took the bus out. I went to the center of town, took a bus from Lancaster to town, and then out. And so, you know, where there's a will, there's a way you can get around.
Yes, it was a marvelous bus service.
It was good.
Yeah.
I think there are too many cars on the road.
That's what killed it.
I think
people picking up their friends by waiting for the bus. That's what, you know, couldn't compete. People, your friends would be waiting for the bus and they'd come by for you.
And then you always let people know if you're going this place or that place,
and
they want to go.
Yeah.
But you pretty well need a car in this area. And you can't walk very far. That's the one asset that is hard.
Yes, yeah. That's true, Jane.
but I wouldn't move unless.
Did you ever go? What did you ever travel on the train? When we had the trains.
We took the children to Moncton one time.
Okay. But you didn't. You never went to St. John on the morning train or anything like that.
No. No. No, it wasn't there. No, really, I think I just missed it. Well, I was too busy in the house.
Mm-hmm.
One time I did take, Ken asked me to go to Moncton for a weekend. And so I had to farm three children out with friends. And then I took the train on Friday afternoon to Moncton, and Ken met me there. And the one curse I have is migraine headaches.
Oh.
And that's what I pulled. And I never forget, Ken was chairman of this meeting and he wanted me to be there. And I was out flat. So I've always been fearful of migraine headaches and the activities that I do and restrictions that I have.
Have you always suffered from migraines?
Most of my adult life. But I think in the last few years I haven't had one. Oh. The girls will say once in a while, "You haven't had a headache recently, have you?" And I said, "Oh, stop it."
Yes, right.
But
yes.
That's the biggest curse that anybody could be blessed with, I think, except unless you can't walk. Mm. No.
Now, let's see. What else have you on your notes that we haven't covered?
I'm just wondering what you would like to know. I covered everything.
Well, let me say.
I have nothing on me.
What do you think about the change of the Shore Road to the James Renforth Drive?
Oh, that's an interesting one. All the streets were named. Our street particularly. I don't mind that one. It's quite a long thing. I feel sorry for the people who live on it, but I think it's a very nice one. We live on 1st, 2nd, 3rd Street, and they were going to name us Paris. The other two I've forgotten. But they were not very pleasant names. So I sat down and I wrote a nice note to the council, and I recommended if they had to change from 2nd Street, could they name it Burnham? The Burnhams had long gone. The name is not there anymore. And then there was Peatman, and I suggested one other name. And we never had an answer to that letter, and I never had any further question, and we are still 2nd Street. And Birchview Terrace was changed. And yet we had been named for 40 to 50 years, I guess 50, 60 years mm-hmm. now, these streets mm-hmm. had been named, and it was a shame to change the names of them. And I felt sorry for the people who lived in those areas. But I never heard further, and I was kind of pleased because it meant an awful lot to me. I had a stamp with my name and address, and I had little stickers, and I didn't want to have to change everything.
The reason that I remember changing to James Renforth Drive, a letter came into council before we were amalgamated, but we were going to be amalgamated. And they wanted to keep the name of Renforth in something, because Renforth wasn't going to be kept as a district. It wasn't going to be kept as a district. So they wanted to keep the name of Renforth in something. So the people on the Shore Road suggested James mm-hmm. Renforth Drive.
That's
and that's
good. No, I like
that
it.
That was why they...
No, that was very nice.
They did that.
Well, the Shore Road, anybody can be on the Shore Road. But, and then they had... one other road that they changed, but
they changed Cedar Street to Neil Street, which was after
nice.
Neil McGuire.
That was after Neil,
but that. But,
I didn't see. I mean, we were there 50, 60, 70 years, and why change our street? Change the newer ones. My attitude. But if it had to be, it would have to be. But I was a little bit disappointed that they wouldn't acknowledge my letter.
Mm-hmm.
But letters are hard to come by, and I'm not the best of communicators either, so I do the best I can.
Do you remember when they built the wharf?
Rebuilt
the wharf?
Oh, yes. That was a tremendous asset, and I think it would be nice if they had a septic tank disposal there, but that may... cause trouble. I think they have one in Rossi, don't they?
A dumping for boats, you mean? Yeah, I don't know what I don't know what
I
they do in Rossi.
I don't know very much about them. Not a boulder, so
no.
That we have a canoe that's not very good in these waters. It gets too rough. But no, I think we've done very, very well in Renforth, and I still say I live in Renforth. And when people ask, well, Rossi's a big town, where do you live? And I said, I live in Renforth, Rossi. And I put the Rossi second in, and they know which end of Rossi I'm in.
Yes. If somebody's looking for you, it's much easier if you put
and,
in the designation. I agree,
Fox Farm Road is a wonderful road, and they've been keeping the roads up there. Our street is very badly,
the cross streets haven't been done. You know,
but I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
Because most of the road allowance is on our side.
Yes.
I'm not complaining. Yeah, we have tried, we have a gully outside, and we have tried to keep that gully as a natural rock garden. And it's the one thing that I've tried to do is keep the front with the rock garden there. Now, if they come along to widen the street, well, they're going to have to widen it or do what they will have to do. We've planted trees that we lost in the gully. We'd lost some through storms. And I've got two little birches in the thing that one day I went along to the end of 2nd Street, and there were these two little ones in the ditch, and I went down to Joan, and I said, Joan, I'm going to steal those and take them out, because there was nobody in that property at the moment. And I thought, well, it's a shame, because if a bulldozer comes in, they won't be there. So I pulled them out of the ground and took them over, and that's what's up in the front now.
Marvelous way they grow, isn't it?
Oh, wonderful.
Marvelous the way they grow, yes.
But we've never had an accident, except one day, 2 years ago. The Steiners next door were doing some excavation. They were having water in their basement, and they're trying to find the cause. And this neighbor drove by and wanted to know what the basement looked like. So she came along 2nd Street, and she kept looking this way. And all of a sudden, the car went this way, and she came right into my gully. If you know my gully, it's about 6 to 8 feet deep. People think I'm crazy. I said, no, because I said the water can go in there, and the snowbanks can go in there. It doesn't hurt anything. And it keeps, we have a place to shovel snow. It isn't a flat area. And it's a wonderful place. So she scraped two trees and took out one pine tree and knocked something else over too. And she wasn't hurt, but her car was damaged. And I can still see the scars on one part of the car. I don't know how she ever managed, but that was the last time she ever drove.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. She's been in hospital ever since.
Oh, gee.
That was a sad thing.
I wonder, was she driving a
small Austin.
With a front, they tell me, and I know now that front wheel drives wander on the road. Not the rear wheel didn't. You could glance, and you with a rear wheel, and you wouldn't wander. But the front wheels, you glance, and they wander.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, I heard it somewhere, and I have noticed myself. You know, because you're scanning the road and you see something, and
this person, the husband didn't believe me, and I said, "Come and I'll show you." And somehow there, Mel Lawson's son was around, and he came over. He heard the noise, and he managed to get the car came right up the gully and took the tree out and landed on the driveway. And she wasn't hurt, but the car was damaged. And he drove the car gently around to the garage. And but her husband just didn't believe me.
And that's the only accident you've had in that section of 2nd Street in 48 years.
Yeah, and you never report those sort of things because the answers were solved.
So.
And I don't think we even called the police.
No, I think there was no other
somebody said, oh, I think you should sue them. I said, well, why? They're neighbors, so I wouldn't do that. And I know that the woman is not well. So that was scary.
Yes, yes. But, you heard it, did you?
Oh, yes, yes. But I didn't know what it was. There was too much construction going on next door, you see.
Right,
the
stairs
were digging up. So it was... Well, we've been very, very lucky in our area. And when the amalgamation came to join Rossay, I thought, well, what can Rossay add that Renforth has done for us? And I think we make Renforth the way we go around and the way we treat it. And I think Joan had an awful influence on all of us. She's Mrs. Renforth, as far as I'm concerned.
Jane, when you picked out your lot, did you look at any others? Or did you consider any others?
The one where Steiner's is.
Okay, the corner
one, yes. That was the only place, because no, Ken wanted to be in Renforth, and I was new to St. John.
Why did he want to be in Renforth? Any idea?
With Paul.
Because
and he
Paul?
Wanted, no, he wanted to get out of the city.
Out of the city.
He was living with a widowed mother, and he hated the city. He taught at St. Malachy's for years, and then he went to the school board. And he wanted to be out in the country. And he loved where Paul was, and he wanted to be, come out this way. And that's why we chose Renforth. I said, you go ahead, choose whatever you want. And I said, if the bank will allow it, that's wonderful. And we'll see what we can do from there. But we had the house started and almost finished when we were married. So we were...
How did Ken and Paul meet?
Army. Down at the Army Barracks.
Down the Army
and
Barracks.
That's how I met Ken.
Ken, right. Down at the badminton.
We played badminton on Wednesday nights and Saturday afternoon. That was wonderful. Mm. And in the Army mess, the Army steward, or the steward of the mess, would provide a beautiful lunch on Wednesday nights and Saturday afternoon to high tea. Gorgeous sandwiches and sweets and things. And then we'd go down and play badminton, and Ken would stand on the balcony and he'd watch. How I met Ken, I was playing badminton with some of my friends that I had met at the hospital, and I was standing up on the fire bench putting up Christmas decorations. And he wanted to know who that was up there with all those long legs.
How did you, because of your connection with the Navy, is that how you got into the Army? Or when you came to St. John, how did you get in with the...
In DVA.
In DVA, or with the MD number 7 with the Army down there.
This was an open badminton club.
Yes.
And anybody could join it. And then with the badminton club, you paid a fee.
Yes.
And you paid so much for a lovely...
But did a friend didn't tell you about it to come? How did you find out about it?
Oh, the girls I worked with.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the girls, Mrs. Hansard, Enid Barker Hansard, was a wonderful old occupational therapist, and she was my guard and guide and director. And then she sent me out to Ridgewood after I got orientated in the West Side Hospital, Lancaster Hospital. And then I went out there, and I was on my own out there. But I'd communicate back and forth. And whenever the OTs and physios were getting together, they'd always include me. And the dietitians were another group of wonderful people. And this is a very special friend of mine, Carol Jones. Mm. Carol's father was head of DVA. But we try not to remember that. And he was over town. And then there were several other people. But we all decided, I said, I'd love to play badminton. So we joined the badminton club down at the Armories.
Okay.
And Ted Elliott and Ted Slater were both very prominent badminton players. Mm-hmm. But and then we played every Saturday afternoon and Monday.
What brought you out this way rather than going up the Westfield way? You worked over on that side, you lived on the west side. Why would you come
to Ken lived in town. Ken lived in town, and Ken was going to St. Malachy's. And when I married, I had to give my job up. Wasn't allowed to work.
Yes, right. No, but I meant before that. Why, before you were married, you came out to play golf. Why did you come out to Riverside rather than go to Westfield?
Transportation.
Yeah, right.
I could get a bus to West St. John, and then you take the West St. John bus right over, and I could connect with the
Transportation was the thing.
The other reason was a very good friend of mine in occupational therapy. Her grandparents lived in East Riverside on the second house up on Dunedin. On the right, old Mr. and Mrs. Barnes, and one was deaf and the other was blind. And I used to take them out in their great big car and take them for a drive, bless their hearts. And they were so good to me, and I'd stay and have supper with them. And they had a housekeeper who made them with gorgeous rolls, oh boy. And then that's where I got into the bus service was so good too, and it's shorter distance than going out to Westfield. No, I had no interest in Westfield.
Transportation was made this area. Transportation made this whole area.
That's right.
Yes. And it's interesting that if they
had buses again, I don't know whether it would work or not.
I don't think people would walk the hills. That's what we found out before. Yeah.
It's hard. Well, I've been walking the hill this summer, and I walked it in a snowstorm during the winter. Man, Steiner, the girl who's next door, she nearly died. She saw me coming up. I said, never mind, I made it.
Good for you. Well, I think we've covered pretty well. Quite aware. Now, what other things have you got in your mind?
I hope I never have to leave Renforth, except to go to the coffin. But, I mean, it's the longest time I've ever stayed in one place.
Right.
And yet I don't look at it like that, and I'm glad I don't have to move. But a year ago, I went back for a 50th anniversary of my cousin, and I took my daughter and my granddaughter, and we drove through the States. We used to drive all the way through the States because it was warmer, more picnic areas, and more interesting for the children. Going up along the North Shore, it was not so good. That's a bad way to go. Jennifer doesn't drive alone. She had a bad scare one time. Some people tried to run her off the road. And that's miserable.
Yeah.
We never had any problems in the States.
So you went out through the States, out through Buffalo that way, did you?
No, we don't go far. No, we go to Cornwall.
Cornwall, okay.
And then up on the
401.
And 2 years ago, we went up to this 50th anniversary, and we got on an 8-lane highway. I was driving. My poor Martha, she was having a fit. She was, Mom, stop. I said, where am I going to stop? The car's here. Yours keep going. Now I said, you're supposed to watch the road. You're supposed to watch the signs, not let me. Well, we went, and after the 50th anniversary celebration, it was fun. And a lot of the family were there, the older family. They were young when I was young. And then we drove down to our summer cottage, which was near Lindsay, and Mom and Dad had built this years ago. We had to sell the cottage when my sister passed away a couple of years ago, because we were 1,000 miles this side, my other sisters were 3,000 that side, and one down in the States. So we sold the cottage, and we went back the following year, and I don't think it's a good idea to go backwards. Keep going forward. The cottage was faded. They painted the woodwork, which looked awful. They painted the inside of the house, so I was shown through it. And the only thing that I saw was a beautiful dock and several big sailboats. Well, they were sailors, and they didn't care about the house. But
is this Lake Ontario or...?
No, up Peterborough, near
Peterborough.
Peterborough these days on the news.
Yes.
No, we were about 50 miles from Peterborough. And all we could think of last week when we were hearing about all the storms, I said to Jennifer, aren't we lucky we're not at the cottage? Because we can get some fierce storms on this lake. Peterborough Lindsay was my parents' home. And my aunt used to live in Peterborough, so
fond memories, right.
But the girls, and my daughter and my granddaughter had never been there. She didn't remember. And she was very interested, and Martha loved the cottage, too. We all did, but all good things come to an end.
Well, before we end, is there anything else you would like to...
I'd like to express my appreciation for the interview.
Well, thank you.
And I hope I have answered any questions
I
that you...
I think you have. You've done a marvelous job of reminiscing right back to many things we've forgotten in March. What have you...
Well, I think it's been most interesting. It's wonderful to hear of what has gone on and that...
when you see a face you don't know.
Just for the record, I should add that Marge Sigley came in to be here with us this morning, and Marge has had a long association with the town of Rossay and the Hampton before that, and the whole area, and St. John as well. You worked in St. John, didn't you? So you know all this area.
When you come to St. John, you've got to be very careful how you speak, but I have never had any problems. If I say the wrong thing, I can switch right around very quickly, and... I'm a friendly person. I like to be. I won a special honor one time as a friendship cup. And so I guess that's carried.
Well, you've had Girl Guide honors. We didn't touch on those. You didn't tell us your Girl Guide honors and your Paul Harris honor.
John Heron just recently fooled me. He presented me with the Queen's Jubilee Medal for 50 years of her coronation. And that was a very big surprise. Mm-hmm. And there were a number of other guiders who were presented it from Fredericton, but I was the only one in St. John area who was presented with it. So I was kind of pleased that way. But I was very, very surprised. And it was a lovely reception up in Hampton at the community center there. And everybody was there. Gordon Fairweather, Betty Kennett, to name a few. I never saw so many old people and older friends
yes.
And then my son-in-law is a very active member of the Rotary, and I don't know what I'd done for Rotary, but anyway, Heinz presented or named me as a recipient of the Paul Harris Fellow, and I was so surprised. I went into this dinner and nobody knew anything about it. And then all of a sudden he pulled out a history of me. That was fun. But and then I received the Queen's Jubilee Medal. And thanks to Bev Sayre, she called me up and she said, "You're getting the Queen's Medal." I said, "I am." But I love the surprise that people give you. And I never go looking for anything, but you never know.
Didn't you have a guide honor? Something honored guide?
Yes, I'm an honorary life member.
Honorary life member.
That's right, Girl Guides. And they can't get rid of me.
Did you take groups of guides to Camp Dunburn?
No.
No.
The one thing I haven't done in guiding is too much camping. I had a very nasty fractured ankle while I was in university, and that has prevented me from doing a number of things, but I was able to play badminton a certain amount. But there were too many other things that I was interested in, and the group of girls that I had were not camping, and the brownies that I led for 8 years, we didn't take them too much camping. I took them on hikes and all around my place, with a compass, and we did little things like that, but I didn't take them out. And then I couldn't leave my family very well. I couldn't leave Ken for too long a time, and that was really my... And then Ken got interested in the sewage, so I was restricted there. You see, that carried on, and then he became mayor.
Yes.
Was he mayor twice?
Yes.
And so his importance was more than... And then I filled in afterwards with guiding. But I haven't done as much camping. I love camping, but I haven't done much. When Mrs. Brown passed away, we took some money that we inherited and we bought a camping trailer. And the children loved that, and Ken did very well. He was in the reserve army. He could never join the army. And that was a bitter disappointment for him because of a medical problem, which was no problem at all because he died at 88.
So,
No, I don't look back on my life, and I'm very grateful to the people who've come in my way.
In your way.
Particularly Joan Fitzgerald.
It's been very nice, Joan. Thank you very much for coming in, and
you're very welcome. Thank you for asking me.
You had, as we knew, you had long, a very close association with forming the main part of Renforth back in the late 50s and the early 60s, and from there on.
That I give credit to Ken.
Yes.
Ken just loved it out here. And he loved the country. He used to come from Newcastle, and he was in Newcastle for some years, and he loved the country. And when he first came out here to Paul Kirsted's in Renforth, that's where he fell in love with Renforth.
Where did he? Where were the Kisters living then? Were they in the Tapley apartment?
Where B. March lived.
Oh, you didn't know them before that?
No,
oh, okay.
I didn't know them before, but he knew them before that, and he knew them when they were in town, in the townhouses there, on the East End.
What do you call that? Rockwood Park. Rockwood Court.
Rockwood Court, that's right. They were in there for a while.
Yes, okay.
And they outgrew the apartment.
Mm.
And, no, Paul was a very close friend of Ken's, and the two of them worked hand in glove. They were always in touch, and always merging.
It was a close-knit group.
Yeah.
Yes, a close-knit group.
Paul
put in all those.
And Dave and Frank Murray and Johnny March.
Yes. They came late. How much? They came quite a bit later, though, didn't they?
Yes, and Johnny and Bee were married later.
Later, yes. Yes.
They went and got married, and they were in their 50s, I think. Great time. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.